certainly Stephen Trigg and I will play an active role behind the scenes, really before the candidates get to that selection panel. Mm. But it's been certainly some time, if not at all, that a real process has been followed. So we feel with this excellent process and certainly outstanding committee that we'll choose the best candidate possible. We'll take all the time that we need, and we're not setting ourselves any time limits at this stage. The process will get underway early July. We just need to make sure we do the best possible job around this and make sure we get it right.
Welcome back to Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. That was the voice of Andrew McKay, the head of football operations at Carlton. The CEO, Stephen Trigg, has joined us with the boys there in Melbourne. Stephen, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Hutto.
Just before we get on to the coach, how's it been in the aftermath of Mick and the tumultuous time?
It's been just over 3 weeks, and like most things in footy, it goes in a flash. But I think what you've seen from us has been a pretty good response throughout the club, and I did compliment the coaching group on that just yesterday in a conversation on a number of things that we had about how well they'd navigated their way through a difficult period, and we haven't got the result, but the way that we've played over the last couple of weeks has been pretty encouraging.
What's the sense been around the club of the feel of how things have been post Mick?
Well, look, it's clearly different. In a really simple sense, the pressure that was primarily from the outside coming in towards us, which was obvious, wasn't it? I mean,
yep.
In every single way throughout that period, the caravan's moved on, and so you get some clearer air to be able to get on with what you need to do. So that's probably the most overriding thing, but just in terms of in and around the footy club, it's continued to be really positive, as it has been right throughout.
I know you're primarily looking forward, but is there one thing when you look back where you think, I wish we had have handled that a little bit differently?
There's always things, Hutto, always little things. Not from a big picture perspective, if you're asking me, do we look back and regret the direction? No, but there's always little bits and pieces you'd like to do a little bit better, but it's not an exact science along the way when you're talking about AFL football and the sort of scenario that was confronting us. But look, I think by and large, and I would hope I speak generally and confidently about this when I say that I think Carlton members and the feedback that we've had felt that their club handled it pretty well.
It's interesting, Triggy, and welcome to the MCG box with us, because last time you were here, that was pretty tense. It was.
I
thought you were going to punch me in the face, actually. But it was a really tense moment.
We're fine.
That's football.
You're all right. Is Stephen all right?
You know how else do we? We're fine. But that's what happens. It was an intense moment in the career of Mick with Carlton. You were making, or you had made some bold statements about the direction of the football club. And Mick, unfortunately, for whatever reason from the outside, never seemed to sort of jump on the same page as everyone else at the football club. Now that Mick's gone, you're sitting here, it feels a lot more relaxed. The Carlton people ringing radio stations have eased off with their hatred. And suddenly the Carlton Football Club is breathing again. Is that a reasonable...
I think that's fair, and you're quite right. And as Hutto said, I don't want to dwell too much on what's gone, because there is much to do, and I genuinely am very optimistic about where we're going as a club. So the really important thing now, and I'm sure you'll ask me about the process and the next, where we're headed with all of this. It is really important to pick up on one of your well-made points there, is that where we want to take the club, it's important to get the coach to fit that. And where we want to take Carlton is to be authentically Carlton, and that's on and off field. There's some layers to that. On field, clearly, we've got a lot of building to do. We've talked about that. Off field, what is authentically Carlton? Where do we want to take this? And authentically Carlton is multicultural Carlton, is people development and leadership Carlton. It's an unbelievably networked and connected Carlton. It's a tribal Carlton. All those things
I think,
where we're trying to take this footy club, right?
Sorry,
and your coach needs to fit that, brother.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Tribal Carlton. So I think Carlton lost the tribe for a couple of years. And I'm going to say this, and I would like your opinion. I don't think Mick Malthouse was a good fit for Carlton. And I know he's gone, and it's easy to say that after the event. But all through the period that Mick was there, no, not the first year, the second year, I thought Mick was disconnecting Carlton fans from Carlton, because what happens, I think the Carlton playing squad are not an extroverted squad. So, you know, I used to have heroes like Fev. Fev had, did some great things, but he couldn't do other things well. I don't think Carlton are an extroverted club. So they heard from Mick a lot. And Mick would either be so wary of the media that he'd either pick fights or wouldn't give them anything, which in turn meant Carlton fans didn't... They didn't hear about Carlton, you know, and I think Carlton fans felt disconnected. John Barker, as assistant coach, has come in. I think John Barker has been absolutely refreshing in his speaking. I don't know if he's going to get
it. That was Malthouse style all through his coaching career. It never changed, Robert. That
probably at Collingwood there was some other voices.
Carlton knew what they were getting when they brought him on.
Well, it was the wrong decision then, Dermot.
But that's what they were getting. They knew what they were getting.
I don't think Mick was as prickly through his career as he was at Carlton.
Oh, you didn't see him up close and personal when he was at West Coast.
Yeah, but at West Coast he was younger and fighter and he'd kick you in the head.
Anyway,
yeah.
We've
when
got
you're
to get
a bit older.
He was prickly. Twiggy, can I ask you, now that you've got the coaching appointment panel, what can you share with us that they've sat down and said, right, this is a direction, this is an edict, this is something we believe we directionally got to move towards. What can you share with us?
Dermot, it's a really good question. So the panel, firstly, for Carlton members, Carlton supporters out there, it is a great panel because it brings us a perspective inside and outside of footy. It brings us a perspective in terms of helping us assess and make a final call on this from an inside and outside, a younger and an older set, and a very experienced set. So I'm really, really pleased with the group that we've been able to pull together. In the next week or 10 days, we'll get that group together and, as you say, be really, really clear about the spec. It's critical that the board and the management and that panel are aligned 100% in terms of what we're looking for here. Now, leave aside the nuances, the specifics. I've already touched on, in a sense, the type of coach that we need to fit where we're trying to take Carlton as a club, some of the multi-layered Carlton. But in terms of the task, I mean, this is just a headline without the nuances, but the headlines are we need terrific leadership, terrific communication out of our new senior coach, perhaps to support the lines that Robbo's just talking about, because there's a number of really critical things in senior coaching, head coaching these days in AFL footy. Yes, it's about leading your immediate environment, it's about creating the right environment, it's about leading, it's also about being the voice of the club in terms of where we're trying to take it.
Will wage be a factor?
No.
How long will the tenure of the coach be?
It's a good question. It's a good question because we've got a heck of a lot of work in front of us, and I can't give you the answer at the moment.
Why can't you give an answer to that?
There's no predetermined view about that. I think it depends on where we go with it.
Well, hearing you speak, and I agree with everything that you've said, and you know where the club's at, and you want to get internal and external feedback on where other people see the club, you must have an idea of how long it's going to take you through this rebuild process, and you must want to align the coach to that time frame.
Okay, so let's just take the concept of how long it's going to take us. If we put a time frame around it, we'd probably do ourselves a disservice. We all know that there's a tremendous amount of work to do. If I call it 5 and we can do it in 2, how silly is that? Why would we
doesn't do mean that? You still don't have the coach signed for 5. If he's done it in 2, well, you know what? You probably want to keep him for 5.
What if he hasn't done it by 5?
So my point firstly is we're not going to be hemmed in by a timeline about how long this build of our list and to do it to become a dominant club again is going to take some time. We all know that. But in terms of the time frame, you guys, and respectfully, Kingy, you're angling through this in a very... call it a paradigm that we all work to. Why would we put it on a term? We might go on staff.
I think you did that at Adelaide, didn't you, Triggy?
We did.
How'd it go?
It's fine. Absolutely fine. I mean, I don't see any difference between that and a senior executive role throughout the club or any other organisation.
Would your supporters take an open-ended contract or open-ended view here now, or do they want to hear... All right, our plan is X amount of years.
Yeah, I'm not locking us into anything in any shape or form. All I'm saying is, and because we need to attack this with an open mind, but David's asked a question about the time frame, and I'm saying we know that the build is going to take some time. We're not going to be hemmed in by a timeline.
Sure.
And it therefore leads that we wouldn't be, right at this point in time, before we get out of the starting blocks, having some preconceived idea about the contract tenure. I'd love to appoint a coach who's with us for 10 years. Leave aside the contract.
No, but there must be a starting point. I mean, you might say, yeah, minimum 3 years.
that's the paradigm I'm talking about. Why any period of time? Why just shake hands and let's get on with it?
Because you're probably going to support the decision that's made on the successful candidate, and you would like to lock him into some sort of secure position, wouldn't you?
Look, I'd love to have a long-term appointed coach who we have the confidence in and turns in to be a long-term Carlton coach. That's the ideal. Leave aside the contract and the tenure, right? That's the simple premise, isn't it? That we would love to have a person who coaches us long-term, yep, and is very successful.
Are you advertising, Twiggy, or are you approaching people?
I don't think... we're not advertising, no.
Right.
No, because from what's immediately apparent is that the world knows that there's an opportunity.
Yep.
And we've had a significant amount of interest expressed already.
And how do they do that? Say, coach...
I'm tipping they don't advertise in the Waverley Gazette with four columns.
No, for example, assistant coach A is really interested. Do they send an email? Do they ring you? Do they ring Andrew McKay? Do they ring Martin Lagoudishay? How do they contact the club to say, hey, I would like to be interviewed?
Probably depends where the relationship, if there's a relationship, where it lies. In most cases, it comes via management groups.
Right. Yep.
But from our perspective, and again, for the interest of Carlton members who might think, well, how do you get out of the blocks? The first thing is to be aligned about what we're looking for, and that will be the case, and be the case very shortly, and then we'll get moving. We've got some time. But in terms of where we go looking, via the Coaches Association, via the Level 4 group, via, yep, the management groups in terms of who's in their stable.
Yep.
What we're finding is a fair bit of it's coming to us already, so there'll be no shortage of... And also, when you've been in the business for some period of time, if you're not making a note in the black book, you're making a mental note about the ones that have impressed you along the way. So we'll turn over a few rocks ourselves to just in a discovery process.
Okay, the first thing that they need to do is know football. We know that. They've got to know football. They've got to know the modern-day nuances of the game. Carlton have lacked... I mean, when Martin Lagoudishay took over, the first word he used, and he's used it constantly, is communication. Carlton has to communicate with their members, and that's got to be by the coach. How difficult is it to find, A, a developing coach, because you're going to have lots of kids, a coach who knows the nuances of the modern game, who also is strong and confident enough to be probably the main messenger at the football club? I mean, that's a really difficult mix, which points to me that he's got to be an older sort of guy who's got that life confidence about him. I mean, there was a trend, Kingy. I mean, Alan Richardson, 48. Phil Walsh, 54.
Ken
Hinckley. Ken Hinckley was 48 as well. Roosie came back at 52. That's the trend now. Is it possibly following that trend, or are you open to anything?
We're attacking it with an open mind at the moment. Without spooling back on... where Carlton, where we're trying to take the club and the key ingredients of leadership and communication, without going back over all of that, we're very open-minded about it. So we don't want to lock ourselves into a mindset that is, the young or the old or the experienced or the inexperienced, because there are ways of structuring it up to be able to get it to be effective and successful.
We could have a different coaching structure.
So we just need to attack it and see what's out there. I say this that the perfect coach that has every single box ticked is, as you're saying, very difficult to find. When you're talking about everything from people, leadership, relationships, environment, culture builder, as well as tactical and planning.
That's a shared responsibility,
isn't
it?
It's a shared more and more.
Yep.
My point is, more and more it's a shared responsibility. So it depends how you set it up.
Do you know that Kingy said, Striggy, that Alistair Clarkson spends training sessions talking to the players? He actually said he hasn't taken training for 3 years.
It's a shared responsibility. That's exactly right. So what he is a leader.
Yep.
And he's set it up where he's
on the back
got
of that. Look at a succession plan.
Every club should have a good succession plan.
Would you put someone in for the short term, on like field, the Paul Ruse, Simon Goodwin situation?
I think, Kingy, that's exactly one. That would be one of a number of ways that we could look at it. All I can say to you again is we've got an open mind about the way we go. So let's have a look at what's out there.
Yep.
And one more from you, Doom.
Yeah, Robbo touched on one then. He said he has to know football inside and out. You've got a bloke who we assume knows his football, but not inside and out on the selection panel. Committee, Ange Postecoglou. Does the coach, does this prospective coach, if he ticks every box except for knowing football inside and out, now that the position is being viewed in this current day and age as more a delegation position, would you still look at that? I mean, if Ange, I'm just throwing the name up. I'm not saying go for him. But if Ange actually said, you know what, I've backflipped, I wouldn't mind having a crack at this, would you look at something like that?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because
that's a great question again.
Because there are some intricacies about the game that make it difficult to come from outside to in. But the essence of it, Derm, as is your proposition, is entirely worth the thought. I look, the very existence of Ange on our group is honestly really exciting, because
in the
several conversations I've had with him, and this is getting to answer your question, in the several conversations I've had with him leading up to inviting him to be part of that panel, so much of what he's about is development of environment, of culture, of team, of leadership, of relationship building, of an elite sporting environment. And what he does at his level clearly is outsource or delegate, whichever you like, in terms of some aspects of the similar to what you were just saying about the way that Clarko is operating somewhat on training days. So I suppose the short answer is it's entirely possible. It would be a quantum leap, but it's entirely possible. And I'm not saying that's what path we're going down. All I'm saying is that the proposition is fair.
You know what? The headlines, don't you?
Yeah.
Blues might go after Ange.
Ange coaches, Musket assistant coach, John Aloisi.
I think it's fantastic discussion.
One last one,
thanks,
Triggy.
Triggy.
Right on, Chris Judd, did he come to you or did you go to him? Did he really want to do it?
No, we went to him, and he was very excited about the proposition. And I know I did say to somebody during the week it probably would have been a little bit contentious and just a bit tricky potentially, but we were very keen to get a younger profile who's in tune with the demands of today's footballer relative to coaching. And when you look outside your club, we weren't getting a lot of joy in terms of where we wanted to go with it. And we looked inside and thought, well, Chris would be perfect for it. Now, we were set probably, not certainly, but probably to ask him to be involved even if he was still playing, which would have been interesting. But then he hurt his knee and it was a no-brainer.
Great selection.
Interesting, that. All right, Stephen, we appreciate your time. I'm sure the Carlton fans would as well love
Absolutely.
To hear your insights. Thanks for joining us.
Steve.
Stephen Trigg, CEO of the Blues.